Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. As you'll discover, we had a slight technical issue at the top of the show, but luckily a caller came through on the telephone to help us out. Michael Calvin joined us. He's got a new documentary on BT Sport tomorrow called Ours, and which is very good. Do recommend it. And he told us a bit more about that. And we had a bit of a conversation, Andy and I, as we always do. And there was sad news yesterday, of course, about the death of Glenn Roeder. And we played an old refocus feature that we did back in 2017, which sadly was the last time we spoke to Glenn. But I think it served as a nice tribute to the man, really. So here it all is. I normally say good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And you thought, well, he was hogging the intro a little bit there. Well, there's a good reason for that. We have a technical issue that has just happened, which means, not for the first time, phoning it in. No, of course not. Andy Jacobs on the phone as we try and sort out his link to his home. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. Might as well stick with tradition.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Paul.
Oh, hello, Paul. Love the show. First time.
Thanks very much. Anyway, Andy's from Chiswick. He's a Chelsea fan. And, well, it was a big controversy, of course, in the Chelsea game, Andy. Yeah. I guess that's why you've called in to talk sport. So have your say on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his take on what went on yesterday. Well, Andy, tell us what you think, mate. It's always great to have first-time callers on.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the most disingenuous man I've ever seen in my life. He never says anything when United get decision after decision. Maguire, in the recent Chelsea-United games, has had so many decisions in his way. Never said a word. Then he starts complaining and saying, oh, they mentioned it on the Chelsea website. That's what influenced the referee. Give it a rest, mate. You get a lot of decisions, really. And I didn't think it was a penalty anyway, despite what Peter Walton thinks. I didn't think it was a penalty. You start to look, some of these penalties that are being given, there's no deliberateness about it. There's nothing about it that's a penalty. He's not even looking at the ball. They're both going, oh, his arm's in a natural position. But they are, both players' arms are in that position because they're challenging for the ball. It's called football. Honestly, the referees have devised this. Well, we know it is who's devised it. They're idiots. They're just idiots. The handballs that are being given are ludicrous. They really are. The game was a bore, though, wasn't it, really? Just wasn't enough in it. You know, this, we're going to talk about it. So many of these games are just so tedious. I mean, next week, it's Man City versus Man U. You can't look forward to it. You just think, oh, it's going to be another 0-0. It's going to be another dour game. I don't know whether it's lack of fans. I don't know exactly what it is. But some of the football in the big games this season has been really poor. Still, good win for your lads.
Yes, it was. It was pretty comfortable, wasn't it? I mean, even I was comfortable. I'm normally at 4-0. I'm thinking, oh, it's too early. They get one back now, we'll be on the back foot. But I honestly didn't kind of particularly feel that. Although I actually don't think Burnley played that badly. They gave it a go. I mean, they did at the back, obviously. But they tried to get on the front foot. They tried to create. I've seen us against worse opposition than that and win more than 4-0. But it wasn't their finest.
Teams, aren't they? But whenever they play a top six team, inevitably they get thrashed. I don't quite. They get rolled over a lot, Burnley, for a team that. You know, we've got a manager like Sean Dyche, a decent team. I thought Reguilon makes a big difference for Spurs. You really missed him when he was out.
Yeah.
He's a decent, some people think he's the best left back in the league.
Well, Jamie Redknapp doesn't. Yeah. I think Roy Keane begs to differ.
No, he's a good player. I think he makes a difference. I do. Yeah. Brighton finding new ways to lose. That's really incredible. How do they lose?
I know. I know, that was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah, we've got Motti joining us a little bit later on. We're going to have a good look at that. One of the things, I don't know if you've seen this, Andy, the Pope, I did an interview. I don't think it was in the Star. I think it was from some kind of ecclesiastical magazine. I don't think he's on the promo trail at the moment. He hasn't got a new book out or anything. But he confessed that he does no physical exercise.
Really?
Yeah, he said he's a sedentary. He's 84, I mean, but he said, I'm a sedentary person, he said, because he has constant physio on a sciatic nerve problem in his back. But, I mean, you'd be a bit shocked, wouldn't you, if you were in Rome on holiday and then you suddenly saw him having a jog. Suddenly there's the old Pope.
I mean, he'd be in the Vatican Square.
They probably have got a cross trainer. And he's probably, I imagine, they'd be secure. There's a bloke in the middle, 84-year-old fella shuffling along, having a jog, surrounded by kind of Vatican guards and all the leery outfits with their big pikes. That would be marvellous. So we just wondered if there's anything in watching the stars keep fit. Not necessarily sporting stars, because that's something you would probably expect, but maybe the stars beyond. I mean, the unlikely ones like the Pope going for a jog, that he would stand out. So let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089 or tweet to
Queen
TS.
Queen doing boxer size, so I can see her.
Yeah, you've got Zumba. Queen at Zumba. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nice idea.
Have you seen that Rochdale, they've now gone 16 home games without a win? So you think sometimes it's good there's no fans, really. I mean, how bad would that be to have to put up with that? And I'm looking forward to speaking to Michael Calvin about his show. I've watched a little bit of it, as you suggested I would. And it's really interesting.
Yeah,
very timely, I think.
Yeah, it's called Owls. It's the story of fan ownership and the way football is going, the different aspects of it, from the ones where the fans have ultimately come through to those that are kind of fairly new in a situation where, like Bury, where, you know, we talk about Phoenix clubs being the answer, but there the Phoenix club has really divided people in Bury who want to go back to Gig Lane, want their old club back. They don't want a Phoenix club because they feel... So, and it's all got quite toxic. So it's a really complex subject. But Mike, as he always does, has done a brilliant job with this documentary. I watched it over the weekend. And it looks at things like Hashtag United and the old Ebbsfleet experiment, My Football Club. It's really interesting stuff. So Mike, he's pretty well placed to tell us what the future of the game is under fan ownership. Michael Naylor says, I'm enjoying Andy's contribution today. It reminds me of commentaries from the 1978 World Cup. Kempes. You could be doing a little bit of that, can't you? Ardiles. Yeah. Give us a bit of a commentary, Andy.
That's a good idea. You
can take us through some of the games.
I watched the rugby. It's the second international I've watched this season. England are incredibly useless, aren't they?
Well, there we are. That's quite direct. You callers, you think you can get away with anything?
Yeah, I am. I really, honestly, that sport, if ever a sport is flawed, it's rugby union. Farrell, he takes so long taking penalties. If he gets five penalty kicks, it's 10 minutes of the match while he stands there looking at the ball, looking at the stand, looking at the ball, looking at... Nothing's moving, mate. Just get on with it. Really.
That's why this was Andy's short-lived period as the kicking coach for England rugby. Didn't last long, really. Get on with it, mate. It's not... Nothing's moving. Get on with it. Yeah.
You put in the scrums, each one takes 2 minutes. Put in the kicks the Welsh kickers had. You get about 35 minutes play out of the 60 minutes. It's absolutely 80 minutes. It's rubbish, isn't it?
Andy, did you see something very quickly? Some of the secrets of the tricks of the trade that Chelsea have been employing. I see Thomas Tuchel has been doing training sessions with tiny balls. Have you heard about this? They train sometimes with these tiny balls. And the other thing we hear at the weekend is that the players microwave their boots before the game. That's right. So they put them in the microwave, give them a nice warm-up. I mean, they're pampered footballers. I mean, I'd love to see Roy Keane's arched eyebrow if he was in a dressing room where one of his teammates was suddenly removing his boots from the microwave.
Billy Meredith putting his boots in the oven.
Yeah, with all those metal studs and all, you know, it wouldn't have been a great idea in sparking everywhere, wouldn't it? So, yeah, modern boots to be the pull-on types, tighter fitting, can be a tight squeeze. So when it's cold, we like to microwave our boots. The game's gone. Caller, hasn't it? Well, Andy, it's been lovely talking to you. And see if we can find you £100 worth of vouchers for your call of the week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Dele Alli got a little bit of game time yesterday, but sad news we read in the Sun the weekend that he has split up from his partner, Ruby May. Because friends apparently saying they were blaming the amount of time he spent online playing Fortnite. So she could take it no more. We did it. Actually, I was told by someone who's friends with the girlfriend of a Premier League player that he would come back from training. They've split up now as well, I think, but he would come back from training. Not, it wasn't Dele, but someone else. But yeah, come back from training, get on the PlayStation. And then that was it for about the next 10 hours, apart from sort of eating something and going to the loo. And then it was bedtime. And
it's so not good.
That was the relationship, she said.
Yeah,
apparently.
I wonder why they're not together.
Yeah.
We're talking, going back to the rugby, I saw the amount of stick that Sonia McCaughan, the interviewer, got for her interview afterwards. And I watched it. I thought it was a reasonable journalistic interview. I don't really understand these people, really. But, you know, and for her to end up crying, really, she should get off Twitter. Everybody should. It's toxic. But there was that same old thing. One woman had to put a thing saying, "Can you all stop trolling me? I'm not that Sonia McLaughlin." Yeah. People just don't even bother. They just see somebody with the same name and they just have a go at her.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh, it's an unpleasant thing, isn't it? Really is, really.
Anyway. You got time for one more?
Well, more and a more pleasant note. This is some information about meerkats. Meerkats have showed fresh interest in humans after zoos reopened.
Yeah.
Animal behaviour.
Well, they can't
experts
help show interest. That's what they do. You ever seen a meerkat?
Well, I just wondered if they were.
They look up and they look interested. They cannot look disinterested, meerkats, in anything. Have you? That's the whole look at them. They just, whoop, they have a look round. The old head goes about. They look up. That's what they do, and they look interested.
No. Were they comparing each person? I just never mind.
So who says they look interested? That's not
animal. All behaviourists.
Well, yeah, but anybody who's ever seen a picture of one on a wildlife show would know that.
Perhaps you're an animal
behaviourist.
Shouldn't
he be at work, that animal behaviourist, really? For goodness sake.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There's been, understandably, many tributes to Glenn Roeder since the news emerged that he'd sadly passed away yesterday. And apart from his football accomplishments, there's been an awful lot of talk about him, the kind of man he was. We heard Motti there paying his own personal tribute to someone he regarded as a friend and a good guy, and that's really come across. So we spoke to Glenn a number of times over the years, of course, on the show and his different roles, but I think the last time we spoke to him was back in January 2017 when he agreed to do one of our little regular features on the show at the time. And I think it kind of gives you a feel for the kind of man he was, and it's an opportunity to look back on a little period of his career as well. So let's take you back to January 2017 and a refocus with Glenn Roeder. Good afternoon. It's time to refocus once again. We go through an old shoot match 90 Minutes magazine and we find those in focus, focus on features where a professional footballer answers a few random questions.
Yes, it's a test of memory.
It certainly is. In this case, we take Glenn Roeder back to his days as a fresh-faced QPR defender. Good afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon, chaps.
Yeah,
fresh-faced defender, that's 100 years ago.
Oh, look, blimey, you're so youthful.
Yeah, you look good.
Yeah. So let's get underway. We always ask, wait, what was your fighting weight at QPR, Glenn, would you say?
Around about, I'm still old-fashioned, 13 stone 7.
Well, you were 12-7 at this point. You had stone lighter.
Yeah, I probably didn't tell the truth on that question.
Because you got fined.
Yeah, it's true. The manager had you on a diet. That's a very good point.
Now, the car. Can you remember the car you may have been driving then?
Yeah, four-door Cortina, only three doors opened.
Well, now, look, it says a Ford Escort. Is that after the... You moved up the world?
I thought that was my first car.
Ah, OK. So this was the one you were driving now, so at this stage. So the Escort. So you managed to sell the Cortina, even though three of the doors opened.
Yeah, as a two-door one.
I think it was interesting here. You were asked who your most difficult opponent was, and you were pretty cagey about the answer. Do you remember what you said?
No, not really.
Yeah, you didn't want him to know. So now you can
want him to know.
So you can name him now. Who was your most difficult opponent then at that time?
Undoubtedly, the most two difficult opponents I put there was a very well known forward duo of Dalglish and Rush.
Right. Okay. They
know now.
Yeah, they're just right. Yeah. If you ever playing a vets game against them, they're gonna know definitely.
The worst thing I ever did was playing for Newcastle. I accidentally cut. Ken Dalglish's knee, which needed stitches. And when he looked at me laying on the ground, I thought, I wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
So at this stage, it says, best country visited. Remember what you might have said?
I'd probably say something like Australia and New Zealand. So I've been down there three times.
Yeah. A bit more,
not quite as exotic.
Not quite as exotic, but a lovely place to go. You said Ireland. Ireland, it was. Yeah,
Ireland. Yeah.
Was this? You used to go on pre-season tours. There used to be a lot of pre-season tours in Ireland in those days. But was that just holidays you'd been on?
Yeah, holidays. I used to, it's a long time ago, used to breed some greyhounds and have them reared out there, and we'd go out and visit them.
Right.
Convinced my wife to take her honeymoon there.
Right.
Told her it was always sunny. And believe you or not, the week we were there, it was hotter in Ireland that week than it was in Mallorca.
Wow.
So I got jammy because it's normally raining.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Probably in the record books, that is. And that leads us on to miscellaneous likes. That ties into something you just said. You said, taking care of my two racing whippets.
Yep. I used to, really, for a London lad, I was a bit more like a Northern lad. I used to like racing whippets.
Hmm. But you did have, you had Walthamstow not a million miles away from where you were born, though, didn't you?
No.
You had the dogs there.
Walthamstow, Romford.
Yeah.
All those places.
What was the difference between racing whippets and racing greyhounds? Wasn't the same.
Well,
thing,
a greyhound's probably about four times bigger than a whippet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And a whippet would probably only go flat out for about 250 yards, where a greyhound would run for as much as half a mile.
Mm. Wow. Favourite food? What would you have said? It's very footballer, this, from that era. Really.
Probably in those days it would have been the old steak and chips or something like that.
Yeah, fillet steak.
You might as well have said prawn cocktail. Steak and chips and a Black Forest Gatto for dessert. You can't get more of a footballer's answer, really, than that. No. Now, favourite TV shows, Glenn? Can you tell us? You said you used to like watching the horse racing, but what was your favourite TV show around this time?
It'd have been some sort of sporting programme. I don't know, Match of the Day or something like that.
Well, it's got iconic music, this show, but it's not Match of the Day. Have a listen to this.
I can still see Benny Hill slapping that young lady on the top of the head.
I think it was Jackie. He was a bloke.
Jackie was a bloke.
Yeah, 2 foot tall. Benny Hill, you're a big
mixed
fan.
Mixed it up there.
Yeah. He kept slapping Jackie on the bum, didn't he?
Well,
the little
cool
Irish fella.
I was telling the lads that Benny Hill, I think Benny Hill's career, he falls into two parts. Like, the part where he sort of became very commercial and he used to chase women around and do sort of slightly politically incorrect stuff.
Yeah. That's not the worst thing to do, though,
No. And his earlier career...
Long as you behave yourself.
Oh, yeah. But his earlier career, where he used to parody other TV shows, I thought he was very, very funny.
Well, Glenn doesn't remember that. He's of a sort of similar era to me. You're talking about 1958, Andy, when he was first on the telly.
Listen, I can remember watching the World Cup final in black and white when David Coleman said, for those of you who haven't got colour TV, England are the team that's playing in red.
Yeah.
Watching the black and white TV.
So, favourite singers we've got as well. Who might you have said, Glenn?
It had been something to do with soul singers, Motown type people.
Well, one maybe. Stevie Wonder, and the other one was the other one you like has been in the news this week in a football context. It was Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart, local man, lives in Epping.
And he was doing the FA, the Scottish FA Cup draw.
It's very, very funny.
Go and check it out. It's worth watching. Now, actors and actresses, Glenn, who might you have said?
He's hard.
It is.
You got me stumped on that one.
Peter Sellers, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Ann Down, who was in Upstairs, Downstairs, and was doing loads of telly.
Yeah. Mm. And I never watched Upstairs, Downstairs. I don't know why.
Where you chose her. Lust, probably.
Yeah.
And this man, an icon, another icon. Have a listen to this.
Now you understand. Anything goes wrong, anything at all. Your fault, my fault, nobody's fault. It don't matter. I'm going to blow your head off. It's as simple as that.
It's the Duke.
Yeah,
John
really,
Wayne.
Doesn't really sound like
John Wayne. Name, cowboy films, as my mum's influence.
Oh. Now, what else have we got left?
Well, your best friend at the time.
Your best friend, you said,
someone called John Brunskill.
Absolutely
was,
right.
Well
yeah. You said you played together for Millhouse FC.
Yeah, that was a Sunday team. John went on into the city, and I was fortunate enough to have a career in football.
That's brilliant. Well, look, it's been good to talk to you, Glenn. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. I've enjoyed it.
Go and dig out those Benny Hill tapes. Thanks very much, Glenn. That's okay. Glenn Roeder there, former QPR and Orient defender, of course. There we are, just taking you back to 2017 when we last spoke to Glenn Roeder. A great shame, the news yesterday that he had passed away.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to give you the clips of the month now for February. It's pretty straightforward. If you go to Twitter at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, we'll have two semi-finals. Strip it down to a final of your two favourites, and we'll play the winner again just before 4 o'clock when we hand over to Ray Parler or Adrian Durham. Thankfully, neither of the lads are featuring in the shortlist today. We'll kick off with Jim White, who had a question for the Sheffield United owner, Prince Abdullah.
You've now taken 9 points from a possible 15. Can I ask you a hard question, though? Before that, did you ever doubt that Chris Wilder was a man?
I don't think I would have done, would you?
No.
I think the evidence is there for everyone to see.
Clear, really. This is Trevor Sinclair now, who clearly wasn't particularly enamoured with a Spurs player.
I think it's naive to go at a team and think, right, let's just have it with them. Sit in deep, don't give anything away, try and frustrate them, and then if you've got tools like Harry Kane...
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
No, it is, really.
No need for that, Trev. Sam Matterface now at Barnsley versus Chelsea, and there was some things you just wouldn't reveal to someone on national radio.
We tried to take them on at their own game, said Corley Woodrow, reflecting on these clubs' last meeting. That said, Woodrow was a mistake.
Again, you want to find that sort of thing out behind closed doors, don't you, from the family? Not on national radio, Sam.
Sure,
what a reveal.
Very loved.
It's a bit of Jerry Springer, that was.
It was. This is Nigel Botherway on Fisherman's Blues, and he does get some very interesting contributors.
Another good message I got from a new TalkSport listener, Chloe. A stray seal that had been seen in the Thames at Teddington.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
How do they use their phone? Yeah, exactly.
It's very clever. Maybe it was an email. Maybe Kevin Nolan did it on the iPad for Chloe. I don't know. This is Jim White and Martin Keown in full carry-on mode.
Martin, let's get this out of the way first. I've just been having a quick chat with Ray Parler, who's asking very kindly for you. He said, get Martin off to a great start. Ask him, did he ever pursue Chris Sutton up the tunnel?
Oh,
it's the all that makes it in the Kenneth Connor styling.
It was. And finally,
yes,
it's Mark Saggers with one of his epic pre-match intros, this time ahead of Chelsea versus Burnley.
Chelsea are out there, so too are Burnley. Well, I like my roast beef just a little blue, but I like my claret hot, which is what Burnley are. It's not going to be a meal for everybody, this one, but I tell you what, meat on the bone for both needed today at Stamford Bridge.
like that one. He likes it. He's on the old mulled wine, isn't he? The hot wine.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, there's a new BT Films documentary tomorrow, and that's on BT Sport, of course, and it's called Ours. It's written and narrated by our next guest, friend of the show, Michael Calvin. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, chaps.
I really enjoyed it. It's a fascinating subject. You look at that bond really between supporters and their clubs, and different stories of fan ownership, some successful, some not so much, and the changing face of fan ownership and fan involvement in football.
Yes, it was a bit of a cathartic exercise for me, as much as anything. Basically, I'd fallen out of love with the game's elitism and greed. And I almost wanted to reconnect with what being a football fan felt like. And, we looked at so many different examples, but we met so many good people doing the right things for the right reasons. And it basically renewed my faith in football. It began on a station platform of all places. I was researching a book and wanted to look at the whole Bury experience and met a guy called James Bentley. And I'd never heard a fan talk about what had been taken away from him with such clarity and such poignancy. He was frankly lost. Mm. Bury FC around for more than 100 years, suddenly were wiped off the map, excluded from the Football League. Gig Lane had the air of an untended grave. They had all these shirts which had been mottled by rain and sun, and you had mould growing on them. And he spoke about what that football club meant to him and his family. We were at the station because that was where his great-grandfather, who indirectly got him involved with football, had gone to war in 1914. That was the station where the Bury team in 1903 left for Crystal Palace and the FA Cup final, which they won 6-0, returned as heroes. So it was almost a reminder of what a football club means to an individual and also the community that it serves.
Mm. Yeah, he talks about his match day routine. I think we could all identify with that really the match is the least important part of it. It's all the being together, yeah, being with your mates, chatting before halftime and all that. But one thing that struck me, Michael, is that we've heard a lot about how football needs fans, and it certainly does. We've seen that. But fans need football too. It's a very much a two-way thing, this.
Oh, absolutely. And it's what I found interesting. We went to a Bury AFC game where there were 150 people in socially distanced crowd, and it made us realize how much we'd missed the authentic football experience. There are a couple of wonderful cutaways in the film. There's in the corner, there are a couple of scallies trying to scale the wall, get in for nothing. And there's a young girl with a halftime hot dog. And we can all relate to those sort of things. You and Paul, season ticket holders, you relate to the game by, I don't know, there's always a guy down the row with a gammy leg that you've got to step over to get to your seat and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And it's the simple pleasures of football that I think we've all missed. And, obviously the lack of fans has created a huge void in the game, both emotionally and financially. We're at a time when football is changing, it's evolving. Because when you think of it, football as we know it is a Victorian institution. The pyramid's been around for a long time. And we are probably going to get to a stage where we're going to have a Super League, a European Super League type model, more elitist. But I think hopefully one of the great messages from the film, and this is why we called it Ours, is that fans can take ownership of their football club, sometimes literally, but other times emotionally and philosophically. And I think that's where hopefully the message from this film will resonate, which is fans, take control of your own destiny here. you can do a lot of social good. Your football clubs are an asset to your community. Mm. Make sure you make the most of it, because as the guys at Bury have discovered, it's the old Joni Mitchell line, isn't it? You don't know what you've got until it's gone.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it was a very interesting chat you had with Professor Simon Chadwick, who's a kind of sports business politics academic, who said he kind of drew this comparison with sort of like almost like boutique football clubs. You think of artisan bakeries and craft breweries and the way things are going. And people can, at the lower levels, have that kind of involvement with their club. You know, they can, that sort of ownership at that level. It's always going to be so much more difficult in the Premier League. But at that level, if you're supporting clubs, it can be like that.
Absolutely. And I wonder, you know, Paul, whether or not one of the byproducts of the pandemic will be almost a people wanting to reconnect with the game at that sort of very almost hyper local level, where, you know, go down to your local non-league club, you know, it costs you what, 8-10 quid to get in, you can have a pint with your mates, you change ends at half time, you don't go to a stadium, which is basically a glorified shopping center. You know, you go there, and to be honest, does the standard of football matter that not much? No, you can still identify with players. I can probably, the worse players are, the more I can probably identify with them, because I was a terrible player. You know, so it's you know, I don't knock the Premier League. I don't knock the, you know, I knock the sort of hyper elitism of it, but there are plenty of clubs in the Premier League. You know, look at someone like Brighton, who are very community conscious, and they do great work in their community. You know, you have to look at the way the bigger clubs have supported the food banks program. Fans can have a positive impact on the game. Mm. And, you know, let's face it, we all know what the ills are. We all know the problems of increased and concentrated tribalism. But also, you know, one thing that I found from doing ours was the fact that there is a new culture emerging. And I was really surprised, because, you know, let's be honest, chaps, we're of a certain generation. I'd never heard of the Sidemen, who've got this partnership with Leighton Orient. Now, that's a group of YouTubers who've got a collective reach of 110 million people. Their videos have been watched by 27 billion people. And they're using the old Brisbane Road, because they get mobbed when they go and try and do one of their videos in a park. Now, football maybe has another audience in there. You know, what we're looking at there, and another example called Hashtag United, their audiences are aged between 19 and 25. It's an audience that football, as we know it, is not reaching.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought the Hashtag United stuff was really, really interesting, and their model and the way. But the stuff about Ebbsfleet was fascinating as well. We remember that. We were kind of on air during that whole experiment of My Football. It's fascinating stuff.
I do just want to say, though, very quickly, I know we've got to move on, fans of big clubs, though, I mean, Michael said that you and I are both season ticket holders, Paul, but fans of big clubs are still football fans, and I think the European Super League is a massive misjudgment by clubs. Fans of big clubs still have that same feeling for their club, just because it's Chelsea or Spurs or Liverpool, they still have that same passion as if it's Bury. You know, I think so.
Absolutely. You don't support a brand, do you? You support a football club. And when you go into a European Super League, a sterile environment, you basically, you're being lumbered with supporting a brand.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to, I'm sure the audience will love it. It's BT Sport 1, 10:30 tomorrow. It's called Ours. And we wish you well with it, Michael. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just time to bring you the winner of the Clips of the Month. Thanks to everybody who voted. We do all the subtle stuff, Andy, but what's the point? They love the smut, let's be honest. The winner was Jim White and Martin Keown in full carry-on mode.
Disappointing for me, but there you go.
The nation have spoken.
Martin, let's get this out of the way first. I've just been having a quick chat with Ray Parler, who's asking very kindly you. He said, get Martin off to a great start. Ask him, did he ever pursue Chris Sutton up the tunnel?
Oh.
I think it's probably the all that makes it.
The all's good, yeah.
Anyway, there we are. Ray's coming up next. He's alongside Adrian Andy back with me on, well, actually on Thursday for the birthday spread. You can hear a very upset Max Rushton quite possibly again, but Max is here tomorrow.
There's a lot about your listenership, by the way, that they chose that one. Says it all.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. I'm back tomorrow from one with Max Rushton. Andy will be here late on Thursday for the birthday spread with Jeff Peters, and then he'll be back with me for the show on Friday. Do hope you can join us tomorrow. If not, the podcast will be available at around 5 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.